Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. In Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24, Solomon makes a profound statement that I'll use to introduce my message today. In the New King James Version, Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24, Solomon says, "Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God." In the New English Translation, it says, "There's nothing better for people than to eat and drink and to find enjoyment in their work." God did not intend work to be a curse or something to avoid. Work was intended to be an adventure, a challenge, an opportunity to learn, to build, and feel useful, serve others, and feel the joy of accomplishment. Work, however, does not always fit that description. Can often be boring, mind-numbing, tedious, stressful, exhausting. I go on and on about that. So about a year ago, I gave a message that I titled "A Godly Perspective of Work." Some of you might remember that. In it, I presented and I elaborated on seven basic principles of a godly work ethic, things to guide our attitude about work. I'll quickly repeat them here, quite quickly. Number one, God expects us to work. 6 days shall you labor and then rest on the Sabbath. Number two, we are to work as though God is our employer, based on Ephesians 5, verse 6, if you like the references there. Number three, work is a means of helping others. It's not just a means of earning yourself a paycheck. Your work is providing a service to somebody. It's done with an outward mindset of it's better to give than to receive. That's from Acts 20, verse 35. Four, a good worker is not a complainer, based on Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15. Not a complainer. Number five, a good worker shows initiative. That is, he or she sees what needs to be done and then does it without being told, without being asked. Jesus says that once we've accomplished and completed the tasks that we've been told to do, we're still unprofitable servants if we only do our duty. We're to go beyond the call of duty. One place you find that is in Luke 17:10. Number six, good worker is dependable. He or she will show up consistently and on time. They're dependable. You can count on them. It's part of doing things decently and in order, based on 1 Corinthians 14:40. And number seven, work is an opportunity to let our lights shine. We are to be a positive influence on those around us and show that God's way works. And Jesus instructs us that in Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. Now, many, if not most, of the people of my generation had parents and grandparents who went through the Great Depression, the Great Depression of the 1930s. Life at that time, in fact, just living through that time, taught them the value of a good work ethic. Life itself taught the lesson. Unemployment was high, jobs were hard to come by. There wasn't Social Security as it is today. There were no unemployment benefits if you lost your job. A good work ethic was a necessity at that time, and it was taught by the realities of life. Today, however, at least in the United States and a good portion of what we might call the Western civilized world, things are very different. Many people today have difficulty relating to the problems faced by the previous generations. They haven't experienced the need for a good work ethic, let alone a godly work ethic. And some of today's generation are growing up with an entitlement mentality. With no efforts on their own, things are provided for them. Free breakfasts and free lunches are now offered to all public school students in Salem and Kaiser, and probably other school districts in Oregon as well, and maybe around the nation. But I know that for a fact in Salem and Kaiser. Laptop computers can be checked out to any student wanting one. Child labor laws now make it more difficult for kids to learn job skills at a young age. And we could cite a lot of other examples here. So how do we ensure that this sort of attitude doesn't affect the next generation of the church? How do we help our children develop and become instilled with a godly work ethic? How do we train up a child in the way he should go? How do we teach that the hand of the diligent shall prosper? Just to paraphrase a few of the Proverbs. Well, two basic methods might be obvious. One, we teach, and two, we set an example. Yeah, we teach and we explain the principles and benefits of a diligent work ethic. From an early age, we can tell our kids stories, read them stories that reinforce a good work ethic. We can point out examples. We can tell them about Joseph, Nehemiah, and Ruth. We can read from books like Bill Bennett's Book of Virtues. It has a whole section of stories about the benefits of hard work and diligent work. The ant and the grasshopper, the little red hen, so on. Number two, of course, set a good example. Demonstrate a godly work ethic. We need to work hard ourselves, even when it's unpleasant, even when we'd rather be doing something else. Something else that we would rather be doing, we've got to do it even with a positive attitude. There is, however, a third thing we can do, and this will be the focus of the rest of my message today. Third thing we can do, we can assign our children chores. Not only because we want to instill in them a godly work ethic, but also because we want them to develop other valuable character traits, traits that will help them greatly as they proceed forward in their lives. I used an AI summary here of a Harvard study of adult development. It's one of the longest running studies on human development. I think it's run for like 85 years. It's kind of an ongoing study. And it says, the summary is, children who had household responsibilities, chores, grew into more successful adults. Doing chores was a key ingredient to building strong family and community bonds, upon which is the foundation of a successful and happy life. So what do we mean by chores? Well, for our purposes, we're going to define a chore as a task done on a regular basis that helps the family. Task done on a regular basis that helps the family. A routine household task. Or we might say simply, a chore is a regular contribution to the family. And further, it's a job that's done without any expectation of something in return. It's not a task that parents pay their children to do. It's something that is expected to be done without payment. Which is not to say that you don't give your kids an allowance. Yes, it's okay to give an allowance, but you don't pay them for specific tasks, not as you would a hired hand, unless maybe it's part of a family business sort of issue. And that's a little different, not something that we'll go into here. But chores are done not for pay, but to help each other in the family. Now, here are some of the specific ways in which chores benefit our kids. And I've got them listed in outline style, if you like taking notes. And I've got them lettered points from A through F. As I already mentioned, chores can, A, help our kids learn and practice all the principles of a godly work ethic. Learn and practice the principles of a godly work ethic. Not only that, you can learn some basic life skills in the process. How to clean out the sink, how to clean out the toilet, how to mop the kitchen floor, that sort of thing. B, chores help reinforce one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long on the land. Chores are a way of honoring our parents. And as some of you parents know, I'm on the mailing list for parenting tips that come from the Love and Logic Institute. And if you've read some of the tips that I've forwarded on to you, some of this message may sound a little familiar, and some of you might, if you got good memories, you might, and have employed them, you might remember some of these from things that we learned in the Love and Logic seminars, Love and Logic parenting seminars that we did 9 or 10 years ago. Point C, chores help our kids feel needed. And here I'm going to read from our Love and Logic material. It says, though kids might resist at first, they'll come to realize that household chores help them feel motivated, successful, and needed. The need to belong and feel important is critical to everybody, but especially so in our youth. When kids feel unneeded, they can feel lost. When kids feel lost, they're far less likely to succeed in homework, schoolwork, and other activities in their life. I'm still reading here. Kids are also more likely to mingle with the wrong crowd in order to feel needed. To combat this, parents should aim to provide their children with responsibilities to help around the house from a young age. As kids begin to contribute more and more to the family, they'll feel more included in the success and happiness of the family. This not only helps prepare children for the obstacles they'll encounter later in life, but will also help alleviate some of the stresses that parents go through. Point D, chores help build confidence. It's not just about getting jobs done around the house. It's about helping kids become confident in their ability to handle life's challenges and to accomplish things. At first, kids might hate the idea of completing their chores. I'm reading from Love and Logic here now again. However, once a task is completed, children can look back at their task and feel good about completing it. Part of it is simply from getting the chore over and done with, but the other part is from the feeling of accomplishment. That is, we want them to develop a the I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me sort of attitude. Parents, you might want to try this. Make a list of everything you do around the house to help keep things running smoothly. Then ask yourself, which of these tasks are my children capable of doing? If your kids can do something, then at some point they probably should be doing it. Because everything that we do for our children is something that they might never learn to do themselves. Point E, E for empathy. Chores help kids develop empathy. By doing household tasks, they gain a better understanding and appreciation of what their parents do and what it takes to run a household. F, chores help teach kids to look beyond themselves. Helps them develop that outward mindset. They become more aware of the needs of others. They learn to serve in the church and in their community without expecting anything in return. And again, it's one of the reasons not to pay your kids for doing chores. Our Love and Logic lessons put a lot of emphasis on this, and they ask us to consider some questions here. Will our kids enjoy greater self-esteem and sense of family loyalty if they think, I do these things because I'm a loved and needed member of this family, or do we want them to think, I do these things because it gets me $5 or $10? Yes, offering money might be motivating, but what is it we want their motivation to be? I do it to be helpful, or I do it to get paid? We want them to develop an attitude of generosity, not an attitude of what's in it for me. We also want them to develop happier relationships. I suppose I could have put that as point G, happier relationships. In other words, are they going to have better relationships if they look for ways to help others, or if they're always asking themselves, what's this person done for me lately? When should chores be started? Well, the Love and Logic Institute says as soon as they can walk or as soon as they can toddle around. Of course, the amount and the types of chores need to be age appropriate and then adjusted as kids grow older. Also, the standards of quality control might need to be adjusted for small kids. Sometimes, I suppose at a certain age, it might be just easier to do the job yourself than to have the kid try to do it, but there's value in having them do that. I think our son was 2 years old when my wife assigned him the laundry day chore of emptying the clothes out of the dryer into a basket and then pushing the basket out of the laundry room. I didn't know this was going on. I'd come home from work, and we had this cheap linoleum floor, and I kept wondering, and finally I asked, Linda, have you ever noticed all these scratches along the floor from the dryer across into the kitchen and into the dining room? And she says, oh, yeah. And then she explained, oh, that's where Luke pushes the laundry basket. We've since gotten a new linoleum floor. Better quality this time, I think. When kids get a little older, it could be make your bed, put away your toys, set the table, maybe feed the pets. As kids get older still, you might want to sit down as a family and write up a list of things that the family needs to get done. Have everybody take turns putting their name by the task, parents included. Of course, one of the tasks might be driving the kids to school or doing the shopping. Oh, the parents put their names by those. Also include a time frame or a deadline for when the task needs to be done. Take out the trash. I don't know, every other day. Wash dishes every day. Load the dishwasher every day. Empty the dishwasher every day. Fold the laundry once a week, maybe. Clean the bathroom once a week. Mow the lawn when it needs it, I guess. Maybe put a magnet on the list and stick it to the refrigerator. You could even put check marks. We didn't actually do this. My wife was very organized, and she had the kids trained pretty well. They knew what they had to do and when they had to do it, and have to grant her credit for keeping things running there and keeping them on top of their chores. But be sure to give kids the tools to be successful in their chores. We need to explain what needs to be done and show them how to do the task. Set an example. Model the behavior that you expect. Make sure that your kids see you doing your chores and that you're working hard and even struggling to get them done at times. It's important that your kids realize that you sometimes have to work hard and do a job that you don't necessarily like to do. And you don't say things like, chores are fun, when they're not. This can cause some frustration and resentment. And when the kids have to do their chores and they're struggling with them, they'll resent it. Well, Dad says they're supposed to be fun. This isn't fun. So be positive. Be positive about doing chores and be honest about your own struggles in doing them. But what if the kids are not doing their chores or not doing them in a timely manner? Maybe the garbage isn't being taken out in a timely manner and it starts smelling. The smell becomes overwhelming. How do we get the chores done without paying the kids, without bribing them, and without nagging them with reminders? You don't want to do those things. Well, Love and Logic recommends three basic principles. My other principles were lowercase letters. They use uppercase letters here, so we've got principle A, B, and C. Principle A, ask. B, be quiet. C, consequences. Yeah, number one, A, ask the kids to do the chore. And don't say, do it now. But do give a time frame. Two, or B, be quiet. Don't say another word. Don't remind them. Don't nag them. Three, or C, consequences. Consequences, and deliver consequences with empathy. That's an important part. If the child refuses to do a chore, it's an excellent, biblically sound learning opportunity. Actions have consequences. You reap what you sow. Here's a scenario. 14-year-old boy neglects to do one of his chores of emptying the waste baskets and taking the garbage out to the street on trash collection day. Hey, Mom, it's time for you to drive me over to Connor's house. Mom's reply, oh, I'm sorry, but I used up all my driving time today doing your chores. At least it's only a mile away. You've got good legs. And it's not raining too hard out there. Be firm, but be calm and show empathy. We'll notice Proverbs 12, verse 18, because as much as you might like to, don't lecture them and don't make any cutting, snide remarks. Proverbs 12, 18 says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." The New Revised Standard Version says, "Rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Keep your words to a minimum and let the consequences do the teaching. What are some other possible consequences? Well, in our family, my wife and I may have had it a little easier than most parents, because our kids loved to eat. And they liked healthy food. They had healthy appetites. So we really had leverage. Now, I've heard that some experts and psychologists say that you should never use food as a reward or a punishment. I was never exactly sure of how to interpret that statement. I don't think we used food as a punishment or a reward. It was simply a consequence. We used the principle of, if anyone does not work, neither shall he eat. It's the 2 Thessalonians 3:10 principle. We didn't actually starve our kids. We didn't use starvation as a consequence. We always fed our kids breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But if they wanted their night snack, if they wanted a night snack before bedtime, then their daily jobs had to be completed. Otherwise, no night snack. Night snack got time got used up by them completing their jobs. And sometimes one of them would forget. It was kind of interesting, because that must have been a terrible consequence, because if one of them forgot, we found out later, that the other two would feel so sorry for the other one that they would save part of their night snack, and then later at night they'd give part of their night snack to them. Of course, this technique probably won't work for all families, for all parents, but it definitely worked for us. I've got one more example of possible consequences. A father might tell his son, "I notice you didn't do your Sunday morning chore of emptying the ashes out of the wood stove. Your brother wanted to earn a little extra money, so I hired him to do it. Do you want to pay me back now, or should I deduct it from your weekly allowance?" Notice that the consequences were somewhat logical, and they were delivered with empathy, a minimum of words, and no sarcasm. And the tone of voice is very important here. This father is following the principle of Ephesians 6, verse 4. We won't have time to turn there, but it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Show empathy, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." When a child is provoked by wrath, by an angry parent, it shuts down learning. With empathy, the child realizes that the unpleasant consequences that they're experiencing are a result of their own poor choices and their own behavior, and not something that the parent did. We want them to connect the consequences to their behavior and not to anger, sarcasm, or the lecture from a parent. Of course, a kid might still get upset, and they might try to engage you in an argument. "That's not fair. I need my allowance. You never take away my brother's allowance." How do you respond? Well, you don't take the bait. Don't engage. You might say something like what we learned. Does anybody remember from those parenting lessons? There are a number of responses you could give. The one I like best was, I love you too much to argue. I love you too much to argue. And you leave it at that. One more thing to remember about chores. One thing to remember is that balance is important. Balance. Remember, kids are still kids. They're not hired hands. They're not slave labor. They're kids, and they need to play. All of the character-building benefits of chores only work within a family where the children are able to feel loved and needed. They need to play. Maintaining a healthy balance between fun and housework is essential in creating a loving relationship between children and parents. With this balance in place, children will feel like their duties to the family are more important, and they'll feel like their enjoyment is well earned. Okay, to all the kids out there, those of you who are still listening, have your parents given you chores? Have they asked you to make contributions to the family? If they have, tell them thank you. If they have not, then ask them about it. In fact, I've prepared a statement that I will conclude with here. If your parents have not given you chores, here's what you can say to them. Mom, Dad, I need some opportunities to learn some basic life skills and develop good habits. Please don't deprive me of opportunities to develop into a mentally strong, confident person, capable of persevering and solving problems. I'm not done. Someone who's not going to be intimidated by the challenges of life, but is going to boldly meet them head on with an "I can do this" attitude. I need to develop and practice a godly work ethic. I want to live life to the fullest. I don't want to end up as an entitled 40-year-old living in your basement or my bedroom playing video games all day. I need chores. In an age-appropriate amount, of course. Remember, I still am a kid, and I still need time to do legitimate, fun kid things. But I do need chores. I want to contribute. I want to feel needed. I want to show love for my family. I want to develop an outward mindset and a spirit of generosity. I want to grow up to be a responsible, confident, and caring adult. And chores will help me get there. To all the kids who are still listening, you can thank me after services.